Well, the time of the morning has come that I've been telling you about. With me in the studio is oncologist and specialist in radiation therapy, Dr. McGee. Good morning.
Thanks for having us, Brian. Please call us Luke.
Thank you, I will. Luke, how did radiation therapy start?
So radiation therapy has been going on for a long time. So it's probably been going on for maybe 50 years in Australia. So in Cairns, we've only had a department up here for about 5 years.
Right.
So it's grown quite rapidly in those 5 years. Prior to that, the radiation treatment was all done down south, down in Townsville.
Townsville, yep.
Yeah, but we've been fortunate enough to get the unit up here, and it's going very well.
So obviously as a doctor, you start in general. How did you get involved, or why did you get involved in radiation therapy?
The main reason I got involved in radiation was I had a few family friends who were radiation oncologists down in Brisbane.
Okay.
And just as sort of through them and as part of my training, I got to sort of sit in on a few of their clinics, and I sort of really liked what they did. So it's a bit of a balance between, patient care, obviously, that's probably 50% of what we do, and also the actual planning process and technology, which works out to be about 50% of our time. So it's a good, really nice job. You get to know patients really well. So, and they really loved it. So, sort of getting to know them and what they did, that's sort of how I got involved.
And what is radiation therapy?
So radiation therapy, in essence, we treat mainly cancer patients. In rare circumstances, there are the benign conditions. But in essence, we're treating cancer patients with radiation treatment. So we treat a huge variety of things. Probably the most common things we treat would be skin cancers. You know, in Cairns, we have a very high rate of skin cancers.
We do.
Breast tumours, prostate tumours. And then there's a huge variety of other things that we treat. So, a very simple way of looking at it is, x-rays for tumours.
Yeah.
So the three main treatments that are available to patients with tumours or cancers would be chemotherapy.
Yep.
That's looked after by the medical oncologist, radiation, which is what I do,
mm-hmm.
and surgery is also a very common part. So they're the three main modalities or treatments that are available.
Cut, poison, and burn, it's called.
Yeah, that's it.
So what sort of... what is the radiation itself? Where does it come from? How does it work?
Yeah, so radiation, so when patients come up for their radiotherapy, for their treatment, they're treated in what's called a bunker. So it's a big room, and within that we've got a special machine that we call a linear accelerator.
Mm.
So basically what we're doing with that machine is producing artificial X-rays. And it's a very similar process to just having a chest X-ray or a CT. The difference is that we use what we call a very high-energy X-ray, and we're able to focus in on a precise region.
Right.
And we sort of do that with the aid of the machine and also with our planning and designing that we do. So so the treatment, itself is not scary in any way. It's, people are often a little bit concerned because it's the fear of the unknown. But once they've had a couple of treatments, it's all very straightforward. So basically people, lay down on the bed. It's a firm bed for about 5 minutes, and it's literally just like having an X-ray.
But it is radioactive.
It's an X-ray, so it is a form of radiation, but the second the machine's turned off, there's no radioactivity.
Big clanking, like groaning machine. It's scary. I've seen the machine. It's pretty scary.
It is a big machine. It is a big machine. But the staff are all lovely up in the unit, they make sure people are, fine, and they look after people really well.
How does the radiation work on tumours? It's rays of radiation, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. So for the majority of people, we give lots of small treatments. So, a pretty standard course of radiation may be over 4 to 6 weeks, sometimes a little bit less, sometimes a little bit more. So it's lots of small treatments. And the way that the radiation actually works is that the X-rays damage the DNA, all the genes of the tumours,
mm-hmm.
and then when the tumour cells go to divide, that's when they actually die off. So that's a simple way of looking at it. So what we usually see is that for the tumour to respond, it does take a little bit of time.
Yep.
And the quicker the growing tumour, the quicker it responds. For slow-growing tumours, it may take, 3 to 6 months to have the full response.
Right. And how do you calculate what degree of radiation you're going to use?
Yeah, so it's a good question. There's huge, depending upon the tumour type, there's huge variations in the amount of radiation that someone will need. So some types of tumours, such as lymphomas, need a very low dose, and that's sufficient. Other tumours need a very high dose of radiation to really, you know, be effective in killing the tumour off. So we really know that from, you know, previous radiation, so we know from experience, and also there's a lot of studies that where they look at the, you know, the radiation that needs to kill off a certain tumour cell type that they do in laboratories.
Yep.
So a combination of both.
How much of this is calculated, or how much of this is assumption on your part?
Most of it, we're, you know, pretty certain on. You know, they always talk about a lot of medicine being an art form, so there always is, you know, you'd have to take things into account, you know, where the tumour may be, if there's an important structure right beside where we're treating.
Uh-huh.
And the other situation that arises on occasion for very common tumours, you know, we know a lot. Occasionally we do see a rare tumour that we don't have a lot of experience in.
Okay.
So for those sorts of tumours, often we do have to, like you said, extrapolate from other, you know, scenarios that may be similar. But there's some, like, on occasion there is a bit of guesswork involved.
How precise is the radiation? I mean,
yeah, the radiation is very precise. There's a couple of things that we do. So depending upon where the tumour is, sometimes we need to put on some immobilisation devices. So around the, you know, the brain and the head and neck, we want to be very precise with our treatment.
Sure.
So often we put on a little plastic shell just to keep people nice and still. Other organs that we're treating can actually move quite a lot, and probably a good example would be the prostate. So we know as the bladder empties and fills, and same with the rectum, the prostate can actually move quite a lot. So what we often do is pop in some little gold seeds into the prostate, which we can monitor. And in essence, we use that as a bit of a target.
As a target, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
But compared to, say, you know, 10 years ago, our radiation is much more accurate.
Mm.
So with the machine and the way we deliver it, you know, our technology has advanced a lot. Along those lines, though, we need to be much more careful that we're setting people up very accurately, that we're accounting for the you know, potential motion of some of the organs. So we need to be more careful and be assured that we're treating what we want to be treating.
And the badge of honour for some men is tattoos. How does that work?
So for the majority of people, we do pop on some very small tattoos on the skin. And they're basically a little tiny ink dot.
Yep.
And we use those. That's a very basic sort of reference point that we use to sort of start the machine from. So we'll set up to that and then make some adjustments to make sure that we, you know, we have people in the same position every day.
That's your target.
It's the sort of first target we sort of look at. So, they're pretty unexciting, though.
So in your job, you've got some pretty intense moments as well.
We do, yeah.
Where people leave your office in tears, I've seen that.
Yeah. So, you know, it can be a challenging job. It's a very rewarding job. So we see a huge variety of you know, situations. We see people with, you know, highly curable cancers, you know, that we know are going to do well. We see people who, you know, unfortunately have tumours that we can't control or cure. And for a lot of those people, what we're aiming to do with our radiation is to make them, you know, make their life easier so if we can control their pain. You know, that's a huge thing.
Sure.
So we do see, you know, people in very different sort of situations. So, you know, it does, you know, it's a job that has its highs and its lows.
Sure.
And, you know, not all the outcomes are what you want. And, you know, it can be, you know, emotionally quite challenging.
So that's palliative care.
Palliative care, which
is a horrible word, but it means make people as comfortable as you can for whatever time they have left.
Mm-hmm. I find you know, doing some of the palliative treatment, so trying to control pain or some other symptom, I actually find, you know, that side of things actually very rewarding because, you know, patients are often extremely grateful if you can, you know, help out in those situations. So I actually find that really rewarding if you can make a difference, you know, in those sort of situations.
But the patient is dying anyway.
The patient, you know, often we can't cure, so they will be dying at some stage. But if we can improve their, you know, we often say quality of life or their situation, often we can, you know, make a huge difference to, you know, what time they do have left. So it's a very important part of what we do, and it probably makes up about a third of the people that we treat. So it's a big part of what we do.
It is. Goodness. So how long have you been in this
specialty? Yeah. So I've been working as a consultant for 5 years. So that means, you know, you're in charge ultimately of the people who come through.
Yeah.
For radiation oncology, your training program takes about 5 years.
Wow.
So basically when you come out, you finish your medical school, you work for about 3 years as a junior doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Then you enter the training program, you do about 5 years, you've got a couple of exams, you know. So basically you're training that whole period of time. And then, you know, from there you work as a what you call a consultant. So, yes, about 5 years. I've been up in Cairns for about 5 years.
So it's a long road. It
takes a little bit of time there, yeah.
You have to self-finance as well.
You're getting paid, not a huge amount during your training, but you're getting paid and you sort of pay for your exams and those sorts of things. So, yeah. And often as part of your training, you move around quite a lot. So you sort of get experience, you know, in the big cities. And also part of your training is also working in the more regional centres, which are often quite different, you know, different types of cancer centres.
Do you have the facilities in regional centres?
Not until recently. Probably, well, Cairns has been open for 5 years. So prior to that, Townsville was probably the only regional centre in Queensland.
Yeah.
And I guess I think a very good thing, but over the last probably 3-4 years, we've seen a big sort of expansion in the regional cancer centres. So, you know, we've seen places open up. There's a place in Toowoomba, Hervey Bay, Bundaberg, Rockhampton. There's a centre that's just opened up in Mackay. And obviously, you know, we've got Cairns open as well.
Sure.
So, and it's a big thing. So, you know, patients who are going down to, say, Brisbane or Townsville for 6, 7, 8 weeks of their treatment, you know, being away from home. Often they, you know, will have some side effects from their treatment. You know, it's a big deal. So having people close to home, I think, is a huge thing.
Absolutely.
A really important thing.
So Cairns is really the centre for the whole of the Gulf.
Yeah, so we basically treat people from Mission Beach north.
Yeah.
Okay. So we look after everyone. So, again, still there are people who are obviously away from home,
sure,
but coming to Cairns as opposed to Brisbane, it's a lot easier.
But there are some centres available for accommodation. The Cancer Council have a lodge out there on
near Earlville there.
Yeah.
So the hospital helps to cover, you know, a lot of the accommodation sort of options.
Yeah.
Like you mentioned, Brian, a lot of our patients stay out at the Marilyn Mayo Lodge, which people find really good. So a lot of our people really love it there. So they've got a little bus that brings people back and forth daily for their treatment, and it's a very supportive environment. So people, you know, I find people really like it there. So
do you work hand in hand, if you like, with the chemo guy?
Yeah, we work very closely with the medical oncologist. So it's probably about a third of our treatments are done together with some chemotherapy. So we call that concurrent treatment. So it's quite a common thing that we do that, and that's to sort of get the optimal results.
Sure.
So, yeah, we work very closely with the medical oncologist. So within our unit up at the hospital, we've got a medical oncologist, also got the haematologist who look after the blood disorders and lymphomas.
Yep.
And as we mentioned before, we do work very closely with the palliative care doctors.
Good.
So it is a nice team that we've got there up at the Liz Plummer Centre.
It's a great centre. Really fabulous centre.
No, it's a really nice unit, and you know, everyone works really well together. We have seen sort of, you know, rapid growth, but you know, I think we're managing things pretty well.
Great. Do you have any preference in treatment?
In a centre like Cairns, often the doctors will treat a lot of the different tumours.
Yeah.
So down in a big centre, say in Brisbane, you might, you know, subspecialise or treat just one or two tumour types.
Sure.
But up here we sort of treat, you know, a bit of everything really. There is certain tumours where you would have to go down to Brisbane for your treatment, and that's if you need highly specialised treatment, such as the children with tumours.
Sure.
Often they go down to the big hospital down in Brisbane, and some of the complex, you know, the really complex head and neck cancers still go down to Brisbane for their treatment.
Sure.
But most of the things we can do up here, which is great.
Good. Luke, thanks for coming in and informing us. Well, this is all stuff that no one really knows about.
Yeah, no, it's really good to come in, and thanks for having us in, Brian.
My pleasure.
It's like I said, it's something that people aren't really aware of.
Mm-hmm.
So, but like we said before, once you sort of, you know, get to know a bit about it, you know, people are at ease. So, yeah.
Well, hopefully next time I see you, it will be socially.
I look forward to it.
If it's the best of local music or up and coming Aussie music, you'll hear it here on Kens FM 89.1.
The air conditioned Mariners Bar and Bistro at the Portsmouth Club on 43 Ormola Street is open for lunch from 11 a.m. till 2:30. Enjoy fresh seafood, prawns, calamari, mahi-mahi or Spanish mackerel.
2 years ago,
perhaps
now,
black
you
Angus
ribs
or chicken parma. Parking is no problem. Just mention Cairns FM to get a complimentary drink with your meal. For booking, call our sponsor, the Portsmouth Club, on 40352297.
Captain Nige is with us from Travel Masters for the Cruise Deal of the Week, the 4th of October.